Greetings, troubled listeners. Welcome back to the Troubled Men Podcast. I am Renee Komen, sitting once again in the heart of the Klempire, Snake and Jake's Christmas Club Lounge, with my co-host, the original troubled man for troubled times and future mayor of New Orleans, Mr. Manny Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Welcome, Manny.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yep.
They're dropping like flies, man, dropping out of the race. You saw that?
Well, you got to pay your taxes.
Yes, you do.
You know, isn't that like the two things in life that right. are certain?
Death and taxes? Yeah.
You know, I guess people try to avoid death, you know. I guess people try to avoid taxes. Well, he's the guy, though.
I know the one guy you're talking about. He was like a head of the 911.
Right.
Yeah.
What's it? Tyler or Taylor or something.
Collier or something is the last name.
Right.
Something
there's
like that.
15
Collins.
Candidates.
Yeah.
There's 14 or 15 candidates, and he dropped out, and he's been disqualified.
Right.
But there's another candidate also for mayor who I don't know if she's been disqualified yet. But, you know, our current mayor has refused to pay taxes.
Sure, yeah.
You know, so...
I guess once you're elected, you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, you know. And so, yeah, you don't pay your taxes. And he had that whole 911
He's still facing a trial.
Was it, the 911?
So what happened? He was in charge of the, city's emergency response department. He had a late night automobile accident with a city car. Then the regulations call for you to have blood testing, alcohol and drug testing in the event of an accident with a city car. So he didn't do that, and instead he went home, and the next day he went in and tried to change the policy to say that you don't have to do that.
Smart.
And of course, they have a record of when all those changes were made.
So he really thought he could be mayor?
Well, I guess he looks at Trump and says, well, hey,
why
man,
not?
It could be my ticket out of here,
And, we've got the other guy, Scurlock, we talked to people about before. And I'm supposed to meet up with him this Friday evening.
Oh, really?
And talk about his bad habits.
Oh, okay. Really? Is this a public forum or just a little...
I get my emails through Yahoo.
Uh-huh.
And they changed their whole format, Yahoo.
Huh.
The look. And they determine what's the most important email and what isn't for you.
Really?
Yes. It's just horrible. They switch to it. And it's confusing the shit out of me.
So apparently
there's a forum I'm going to Friday with the lower echelon candidates.
Uh-huh.
And Scurlock's going to be there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And he had that whole issue with the backseat of a car in
right.
L.A.
Right.
Yeah. But, it's funny. I've gone over this over the years. When you qualify for any office... you become very popular with organizations and people who want to know how you feel,
KKK.
How you stand. There's an organization to help the homeless. There's an organization
Money, donations?
Well, that's funny you mentioned it because I got a call. Actually, it was an email from the Senior Voter Caucus.
Oh, okay.
And they're having a forum, of course, because they all have these forums. And they invited me to it. But they also said to be a part of it, you have to pay $150.
Hmm.
So strange. I wrote back. I said, well, what's the $150 for? And they wrote me back, and they said, well, it helps to pay for the event and also feed our seniors. And I wrote back, well, I'm a senior. Are you gonna feed? And I'm very hungry.
Discount? Maybe a discount?
I don't know. But I haven't heard back since I asked that question.
That early bird special.
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. I'd like to go to it just to put people asleep, And then I got today, well, it was actually yesterday or Friday, I got a call from some little old lady who says she was representing some organization. I can't remember, but it was to help kids. It was a kids thing. And they wanted to know, they said, Mr. Chevrolet, would you like to mentor a child?
Oh.
And I said, do you know who I am? Do you
Clearly
know
not.
Who I am?
Yeah.
And they were like, well, yes, you're running for mayor. And I go, I think I'll pass.
Maybe they heard about your clown camps and thought, well
yeah,
you know.
I don't know about the, yeah. Yeah. But it happens. You know, they go out of the blue.
It's an honor.
Yeah.
You make yourself a target.
Well, it's funny because all these emails you get are these phone calls. They always say, congratulations.
Yes.
You've qualified.
Yeah.
You're
sure.
going to do good and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I just find it hilarious. But the one thing that I haven't got yet is the bombardment of just regular mail. I mean, the past elections, I just could come home and there would just be like, you know, this thick stuff.
You mean just mail. That everybody gets, the junk mail. Yeah,
just
the
junk mail, you know. So it's going to be fun.
We're
we'll
still
see.
A ways off,
to,
yeah.
I have to sober time. Up a little bit to pay more attention. Cause
sure.
Because this new format that Yahoo has, I'm very confused.
Yeah.
And my wife's very busy right now. She can't help me. So I think I have to sober up a little bit.
Yeah. And read it with clear eyes.
Yeah, instead of just say no. Oh, like when they get these phone calls, who are you? How did you get this number?
Scam likely.
You know, scam likelies and stuff. And of course, my outgoing voice message is the famous John McEnroe line, is, answer my question, you jerk. Then it goes, beep. Yeah.
Well, at least they know who they're dealing with, you know.
Aren't getting real sense. Right. Real sense.
Right, so that's been going on. Also, I just found out today, Ozzy Osbourne died.
Yes, yes.
I loved Ozzy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's one of the greats, man.
A great character. And,
yes.
And I had a thing for his wife there for a while,
okay.
too. Yeah. What's her name?
Sharon.
Sharon, yeah. She saved his life.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, she's a genius, you know, rock and roll business person. Her father.
Well, her dad was in the business.
Yeah, yeah. Her
something.
Dad was a famous manager, Black Sabbath's manager, who told Black Sabbath they should get rid of Ozzy.
Right.
And they did. And then Sharon went and picked him up and
got him
together, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because I was watching the network news tonight and CBS opened with this whole Epstein thing going on.
Sure.
And ABC opened with the whole Epstein thing going on. But NBC opened with Ozzy dying.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought that was kind of crazy.
What people really care about. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot of poor kids that were abused and stuff. And I feel bad for them. But anyway, just thinking of that, there's a locally, there's some kind of teacher or pastor who just got arrested for having sex with boys.
He was a choir director.
Yeah, choir director.
I saw that. Terrible.
Yeah, it was boys and girls.
Who knows, but it's more than one case, apparently, you know.
Well, yeah.
He was at a bunch of different schools. Most recently, maybe Warren Easton, Madonna 35.
He got around, this guy.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. Yeah. It's people in...
Preach it to the choir, he said.
Yes, yeah, there you go, man.
Sing it to the choir.
Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah, so that's going on.
Right.
And,
they had a couple of groups in town. One was a Christian youth group convention.
Oh.
And when I was down playing my carousel gig on Sunday with the Iguanas there...
they were protesting
they were all,
you?
Well, I'm not sure. I wasn't really paying that much attention, but they were out in droves.
Let's get the Jew. Let's get the Jew right now.
They were out in droves roaming around the downtown
quarter?
Area and the French Quarter as well. Yeah, yeah. But then
they didn't have bullhorns and saying,
they were
die.
Just trying to stay together, trying to stay as a little herd. You know, the parents were watching over them.
That a Christian come down here? I don't know.
Well, maybe they figured there's work to be done or
just cheaper.
Yeah,
it's just cheaper.
Now they should start at this bar.
Sure, yeah.
With the work.
Right. Now, I think at the same time, they had a swingers convention that was in town.
Oh, that's right. That's the annual swingers convention. I know about that convention.
Right.
And it brings some of the most unattractive people you ever want to see.
People are so gross, man.
Yeah.
People who want to fuck other people's fat wives.
Yeah.
You know, if yours isn't enough for you.
Right, exactly.
Find somebody else's fat wife to fuck.
Yeah. Oh, God. Anyway, that's going on. And I heard something funny over the weekend. This guy in the West Coast, somewhere in the Bay Area, I think, He tried to carjack a driverless car.
Wow.
You know, and he got away with it. So anyway, that's in the news.
I expected more of a pop from that.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know.
Do they have steering wheels?
They have steering wheels, these driverless cars. They're big, man, out there in Northern California.
I saw them in Austin.
Austin?
Really?
Yeah, really? They have them in Austin, too?
They're already there.
Do they have them here?
I haven't seen any.
I don't have.
They'll
hope
be destroyed
not.
By the streets.
Yeah, yeah,
I remember once, though, I was with a buddy of mine, and we were in Beverly Hills waiting at a red light. And this car in front of us made this erratic right turn. And we both looked and was like, there's nobody driving that car. Mm. There's nobody driving that car. And this is like 1988, 89 or something like that.
Okay.
So we took a ride ourselves, and the car pulled over to in front of some restaurant, and it was Frank Sinatra Jr.
I thought you were going
to
say Hervey Villachez.
No. No, Herbig didn't hang in Beverly Hills.
Frank Sinatra Jr.
It was Frank Sinatra Jr. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was going in his glove box or something.
He doesn't get enough credit, man. Frank
he was
Sinatra.
He almost lost an ear.
Oh, did yeah, he got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was the other kid, the
Nancy Sinatra?
No, the
Lindbergh baby.
The other, no, you're getting warm.
Oh, Getty.
Yeah, Getty. Yeah.
The Getty baby.
Later dope fiend. Yeah.
He was a good guy.
Yeah,
great
yeah,
museum
yeah.
too. Great
yeah,
museum.
Yeah, I love the Getty.
Fabulous museum out there in Los
Balthazar
Angeles.
Getty's father.
Yes. Yeah. Right. He
great,
got a
great images. Great images.
Yeah. I'm glad we could help you out with that.
Right.
But speaking of great images, did you hear last week some guy somehow, I don't know how this happens, but he went into an MRI with a chain. And they turned the machine on and with his chain on. And
it choked him to death,
yeah, it choked him to death. Because I don't know if you've ever done one, but it's
they
like...
They spin, right?
Well, no, they don't spin. It's all magnets. They kind of shake and it goes around you. It's just like thousands of magnetic fields going through your system.
Hmm.
And, I mean, I don't like it at all. It's very fucking scary.
Yeah, I hear people complain
and
about it.
You have to be completely still.
And they take a long time, right?
They take a very long time because, like, I went in to get like an MRI for my neck a few years back, and they have to take every kind of image from every angle, so it takes a long time.
It's like 50 minutes or something, right? 45,
so at least a half hour.
Yeah. And the loud too is what
it's
I hear.
It's so fucking loud. Now people have swear they go in there, they can come in there with like their little Walkman or something like that and listen to music, but I don't see how you can hear your music because I mean it is just so loud.
So the magnets, apparently, like he had an iron chain on or iron
chain
cross.
Or whatever. The thing I didn't see was, why was he in there to begin with? I don't think he had an appointment.
Oh, wow.
He just went in there.
Just for a joyride.
I don't know what this guy was thinking, but it was like Long Island, New York or something like that. Great Neck, somewhere like that.
Too many of those iced teas.
Maybe. I don't know. But he's dead.
Yeah,
so
that's what do they call that? Natural selection.
Yeah, and he'll be buried with his chains.
Okay, very good. You know? Very good.
So,
very important to him.
Yeah. So, anything else going on?
Well, just kind of counting. You know, something we talked about earlier in the shows several months ago. You know, we had the OPP escapees.
Yeah, one's still out there.
Yeah,
right?
Derek Rose, the most dangerous criminal, perhaps the double murder, convicted double murder, is still on the loose. And they had a little follow up article, and the feds are saying that the tips have dried up. And they think at this point he could be anywhere, and it may be a long time before they see him. And I was thinking, you know, it could be one of those kind of like SLA, you know, Symbionese Liberation Army type things, where like 30 years from now he shows up, he's taking his, or maybe he's just like taking his grandchildren under an assumed name to you know,
to
register
park,
for something, you know, and they somehow facial recognition kicks in. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's what, since May?
It's been over 70 days.
Yeah. Maybe he killed himself.
Well,
I don't know. You think he'd find a body by then? He's, you know, he could be like in our back. He could be like next door.
Sure.
I mean, what's his name? Massey was right in your neighbor, close right, to your neighbor, right, just right. hanging out.
Yeah, well, as we say, the kids across the, I mean, the fellas across from Snake and Jake's here, you know, yeah. I don't, I'm not checking any IDs on them. They could be anybody
good
over
guys.
There. They
good
seem guys. Seem yeah. Harmless enough, sure.
So, he's out there, man, and, you know, the over-under is still there for right. him when he's going to get caught right. and stuff.
Well, you know, another person who's still out there who there was a lot of question about, but some of those questions were answered this week. I'm sure you saw our former guest and old buddy Chris Rose showed up in an article. Keith Spira, another former guest, went up there to the woods of Vermont or Connecticut or something and tracked Chris down and
got the money that he owed him.
The money and the $10 for that mother's roast beef sandwich that he bought in 1999.
Well, you know, Chris is a great guy.
Yes.
Very talented.
Yeah, I love Chris,
guy.
Man.
And, but, you know, I think there's something deep down. He's kind of like one of those characters that we've talked about in the past where you just look into his eyes and you don't know who's driving.
Well,
I think that's Chris. He's like Andy Kaufman, Chris Rose. Anthony Kiedis is a guy like that who I've known for years.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys where, you know, so there's, and it's all these guys have had some kind of troubled,
right,
you know, upbringing and stuff like that, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of people's success can be your downfall, you know. You'd think
right.
everybody is striving for success. But if it comes in the under the wrong circumstances, maybe too fast, or you know, if you can't handle it, you're better off without it, man.
Right. And but I saw it on the computer there, the story about him. I mean, it's not like he's not out there like, you know, Survivor or that show Alone, where he's just
no.
Like, he's got a little camper and stuff like that.
Yeah. He has his scene together. He's taking care of the campgrounds, and
right.
then he has his routine.
He's smoking cigarettes.
Still smoking.
Smokey the Bear doesn't like that.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't even think about
Come
that.
Come on, Chris, get it together.
But then he comes down, and I guess winters in the woods of Mississippi
right,
or something.
Yeah.
In the interior there. He's keeping it close, though.
Maybe he's with that escapee. Maybe he's hiding
okay.
him out.
All
the
right.
Groves guy.
Okay.
Maybe he's helping him.
Manny
you know.
Chevrolet connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Man.
It's
all right.
Anyway, so going back to politics for
yes.
just a second.
Yes.
Our fearless leader and his appointees to all these departments, I saw this thing with RFK Jr.
And what guy?
This guy, and, you know, he tries to talk. And I don't know what kind of... He's got some kind of condition himself. And
yeah.
He's the czar of the health department or something
like
that. And I'm watching this interview with him, and the more he talks, the more, like, foam starts coming out of his mouth, like saliva.
Starts collecting in the corners.
Yeah, the corners. Uh-huh. And I just kept thinking, Cujo the dog. Cujo the dog. I'm watching this guy go, he's Cujo the dog. I mean, any minute now, he's just going to start like chomping on that reporter's ankle or something like that. So, you know, shout out to RFK Jr. Keep it together, man. Stay out of the way of my neighborhood.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't break the skin, you're right. Okay.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then apparently, he is, him and our fearless leader, say that Coke should go back to real sugar.
Okay.
You
well, I support that. You know, not that I drink Cokes anymore, but
I don't drink Cokes
yeah,
anymore.
I used to, but and I like I preferred them with the sugar, but I haven't.
I can't. I haven't. I wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah, I can taste the difference, but I haven't had a Coke. I mean, that's something I used to love, but I just lost the taste for it, man.
Well, it's bad for you.
Yeah.
That's basically
right.
why I stopped. Cokes are bad. All that stuff is bad.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I look at the RC Cola and go, ooh, I wouldn't mind an RC Cola.
RC Cola and a moon pie?
No, RC Cola and a warm woman.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I like. Nice, sorry, a Royal Crown.
Royal Crown, yeah.
Do you know the Kansas City Royals, the baseball team?
Mm-hmm.
You would think they're called the Royals for like some kind of king, you know, or maybe the owner, you know, came from some kind of lineage of royalty and stuff like that. But you know why they're not? You know why they're called the Kansas City Royals?
No,
why is that?
They're named after a cow. There's royal cows in the state in that area of the country,
huh? Really?
Where livestock I mean, is aplenty. There's billion-dollar business.
Sure.
And apparently there's a certain cow and bull that are royalty.
Oh.
So the baseball team is actually named after cows.
Okay.
That's why they suck. You know, I don't know. No, they used to have a few good teams in the 80s, I remember.
All right.
But, yeah, they're good people. Right, but one last thing.
Yes.
You know, I was talking to my daughter. She graced us with an appearance of a week or so ago.
Very nice.
And we're talking about TikTok and all this social media stuff. And she asked me, do I do Twitter? And I said, I don't do Twitter, man. And she said, why not? I go, listen, daughter, I just like going around talking to people in public about unimportant things. That's what Twitter is.
Sure.
Basically talking to people about unimportant things. And she looked at me and got her keys and left. So...
You like the personal touch.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right. I'd like to just go out there. So, anyway, I think it's time to get to our guest.
Yes.
He seems excited.
Yeah.
He's an excited guest.
Yeah. He's a fantastic 2-time Grammy Award-winning guitar player, songwriter, singer with the Lost Bayou Ramblers, great Cajun punk, neo-Cajun sort of group. You know, he also plays with Louis Michaud's Swamp Magic, and our guest has his own dreamy indie pop group, Brass Bed, just released a beautiful new single, Ready to Run. He's also a member of Carbon Poppies, kind of a lo-fi pop group. Also has an ambient pedal steel project called Weeks Island, whose record Drost was just re-released. And also plays around New Orleans with Johnny Campos and Today's Hunks. We're going to get into all that and much more.
Today's Hunks.
Get into all that and much more. Without further ado, the great Mr. Johnny Campos. Welcome, Johnny.
Thanks, guys.
Hey.
First time, long time. Big fan of the show.
Oh, right on.
Oh,
he was telling me he's been listening since CeCe Adcock's first appearance back when we were at the Ring Room.
Oh,
yeah.
Crazy, man.
CeCe Adcock, he's from Texas,
he's
right?
He's from Lafayette.
Lafayette.
Yeah.
I thought he was from Texas. He lives in Texas.
No, lives in Lafayette.
Oh, really?
But he often wears a cowboy hat. Maybe that
a lot of scarves
throws you off. Yeah, yeah. He's just produced a record on the Rolling Stones with for the Clifton Chenier 100th birthday tribute record. Anyway, but enough about CeCe Adcock. Let's get to our guest, Mr. Johnny Campos. So, Johnny, you're familiar with the show, I'm sure a lot of listeners to the show are already familiar with you. You play in the Lost Bayou Ramblers. Now, you seem way too young to have started with that band, but I think you were an original member. Is that correct?
No, I've been in the band a little over 10 years.
Oh, okay.
But the band just celebrated 25 years.
Okay, all right.
So who did you replace?
Their guitar player.
CeCe Adcock?
No, he was never in the band.
Who's your replace? You don't remember.
It's not important.
They didn't tell you.
It's not important.
He died.
No, he's very much alive. I think he's very happy.
Oh,
there you
okay.
go.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
Yeah. Our times change. You know, people move on. Well,
what's the story you want to go to?
Johnny, tell us a little. Okay, Dave Clements walking in the door. All right, brother Dave. Doing some
looks like our chief of police right now.
He does. He's got that haircut going. All right,
okay. Emo.
All right. So Johnny, so the Lost Bayou Ramblers are based out of Lafayette. Is that where you hail from?
Yeah, I was born in Baton Rouge, grew up in Lafayette, moved here like 15 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so
like
even
that.
You've been living here before you were even in the Ramblers.
Correct.
Okay, interesting.
I went to UNO, got a degree in psychology for some reason.
Okay.
That's why the sideburns, right?
That's why Neil Young is because of the sideburns.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, okay.
Psychology.
You know, I have a thing I say about the shuffle, you know, the musical form, the shuffle.
Right.
The shuffle is kind of a sign of the underemployed, much like mutton chop sideburns.
I'm very much employed, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah, you sound like a busy guy. These bands, and then you said you worked a day job since you're 15 years old. Crazy.
Yeah. I've been in the service industry since I was like 16.
Okay. Well, so the music business is kind of the service industry anyway, right?
It is.
So you have a family that was in Baton Rouge?
Yeah. Well, my parents met here in New Orleans.
Okay.
Decided to have a family, so they raised us. We were born in Baton Rouge, and they were like, split up. My mom went to Lafayette, grew up there.
Okay.
Great place to grow up. But I never played any kind of Cajun music until I joined Lost by Your Ramblers.
Where'd your dad go?
He followed us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they split up.
They split up, but they were
the kids
completely
followed the dad.
Yeah. Completely amicable.
What's wrong with your mom?
She's great. Well, she just passed a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. But yeah, she's great.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, so were you playing music in Lafayette growing up?
Yeah, started like at 13. Started playing guitar with buddies. Like you're like, oh, well, let's play Nirvana covers and stuff.
Before
like that,
you were a music fan growing up, buying records, listening to radio.
Yeah. Pretty much. My first CD I ever bought was the soundtrack to
Live and Let Die.
Good guess.
No.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
The Disney classical. Like
Peter and the Wolf.
No. Oh,
okay. Fantasia.
Fantasia.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a good one.
It's a great. My brother had that soundtrack.
Nice.
He used to play it constantly.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of kids.
And he was a hippie, so I understand why he listened to
right,
it.
Right. I was going to say, a lot of kids in high school was starting to get into psychedelics would revisit that record. You getting into a lot of psychedelics in high school?
A couple times.
Okay, good. Yeah. You know, I always say you don't have to blow your mind like me and Manny did. You just want to open the door, you know?
Sure.
Just gotta get a little taste of what's on the other side.
The door is always open. Sometimes the light's off, though.
Right.
Sure. I don't know what that means. No, anyway.
We get a flavor for
what's
it,
your
though.
Name again?
Johnny Campos.
Johnny Campos.
It's yeah. a good
now, are you
name.
Part of the Campos family in L.A.?
Don't think so. Campos is like Smith in South America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great taco chain in L.A. called Campos Tacos and Burritos. I don't know if they're still around, but
sure.
In the 80s and early 90s, they were huge.
Any good?
Very good. You saw one at every little strip mall.
Nice.
They had a great vegetarian burrito, which was very tasty.
Nice.
And then they also had a really good steak tacos, which were really good, too.
Carne asada.
Yeah, the carne asada taco with the lime.
Well, it's funny because I work at a taco spot on Ferret called Val's.
That's
where I bartend. Val's on Ferret.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They have good carne asada over there?
It's a barbacoa.
Oh, okay.
Oh. That's on Ferret over near all those other little places like Company Burger and
Correct.
Stuff like that.
Correct.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, not bad.
Shout out to Val's. Yeah. So what besides the Fantasia soundtrack, what other sorts of bands are you attracted to?
Growing up, we were putting on records to clean house, and it was like, you know, Abbey Road, Harvest, a lot of classical music. But yeah, just like...
And you're just playing with bands like house parties and stuff?
This is like growing up. Like
before that.
But yeah, it was just... Yeah.
And are your parents musical?
Not at all.
Really?
Yeah. They were big folkies. Love classical music, but...
Is that where you got into Neil Young? They had Neil
big
Young
time,
records.
Big time. My dad was anti Elvis, anti Rolling Stones. I came into those guys late.
Okay.
Like college, after college.
You start playing guitar,
right.
didn't really play in school band before that or anything?
No. High school was the first time I played in jazz band. My girlfriend likes to make fun of me because it's nerdier than regular band.
Oh, no, it's not. you have a guitar in your hand.
They're just as nerdy.
Equally nerdy.
Yeah, equally nerdy.
Yeah, you have a guitar and a, you know, it's much cooler.
Oh, yeah. Wear a suit, a tux.
Yeah, you can actually go and earn. If you get good at jazz band, you can go and get a job in a band. If you get good at marching band, you can...
Play Ska in the 90s.
Be a waiter. Yeah. play Ska in the 90s, sure. Be in the mighty, mighty Boston's. Mm-hmm. Once you start playing guitar, do you start working pretty quickly? Start playing in bands?
The band Brass Bed kind of was like the main band because it was like the drummer I've known since 1992 and the singer I knew since senior year of high school. So it was just one of those things, like, we're going to get through college, and then once we're done with college, we're going to go tour as hard as we can. So
you went to UNO.
I went to UNO.
And you studied psychology.
Studied psychology.
And how has that helped you in life?
I don't. Anytime I've ever gotten a job somewhere, like service industry, when they find that out, they're like, oh, you're going to have a great time here. Everybody's crazy. Like,
what does
every
that
time.
Even mean?
I don't know.
What does that even mean?
Every single time that happens.
Yeah. Well, you know what my father explained to me about people that go into psychology, and maybe not all of them, but many of them pursue a degree in psychology because they are crazy and they want to figure out what they can do to cure themselves. And
perhaps.
And some people never figure it out. They wind up getting PhDs,
right,
and come out the other end. And that's why there are so many people with PhDs in psychology and they can't find jobs.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to go back to school.
AI is going to take over their job.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs.
You know, I went to a psychiatrist once.
Oh, yeah?
And the first thing he said to me was, well, what took you so long?
He heard about you.
Yeah. And I said, I love my mother. That's what I said. Anyway, getting back to you, right. You're our guest.
Right.
We could go down that road.
You don't want to.
It's a long one.
It's a long road.
A long and winding road.
It's a long winding road.
And I have one bullet in the chamber. But I don't own a gun, thank goodness.
Oh, good. Just the chamber.
Yeah, just the chamber.
Just the chamber. All right, I like
exactly.
this kid.
That's pretty good. I like
that.
Yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah. You're all right, kid. So, what's your name again?
Appreciate it. Johnny Campos.
Johnny Campos.
So,
straight out of Baton Rouge, right?
More or less.
Yeah.
Lafayette.
Yeah.
Now New Orleans.
Now New Orleans.
So Brass Bed. So you go way back with those guys.
Yeah. That's what I did for my 20s and my 30s.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So is that how you wind up getting into Lost Bayou Ramblers?
Just like being from Lafayette, meeting the guys, and just getting the call. It's like, hey, do you want to play guitar? You know, I got a call to play bass for a filming of NCIS New Orleans.
Okay.
Oh.
And as I was about to leave, they're like, you know what? We got a bass player. Bring your guitar. And I've just played guitar ever since.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think they cut us out of that episode, so you can't even find it.
That was a Scott Bakula show, right?
Oh, yes.
He had a great accent in that show.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. I remember. Some real bullshit.
Yeah,
that was Gone with the Wind.
Yeah,
that
show lasted one season, I think. Maybe two.
I only like him from Quantum Leap.
Yes, Quantum Leap.
Great show.
American Beauty, where he played the gay jogger.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he plays the gay jogger.
Yeah, okay.
Check that out.
Mind like a steel trap.
Check that out, man. Yeah.
Well,
five lines and under, man, he get union wages for five.
Right.
He'll get, you know.
Right.
He'll get the union, $9.50.
We tried.
One line and under, you get like $7.50.
Right. We tried.
Yeah, but that's the union now.
Yeah.
No one's... Hollywood, New Orleans, Louisiana, Hollywood is dead here, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the U.S. in general.
In fact, I just found out that a friend of ours who worked in the business for years, and it's so fucking shut down now here because of the tax breaks were taken away by our governor, that he's working at Trader Joe's now.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, the industry is in a big slump, man.
Yeah.
It's been several years since a lot of people have worked.
Yeah.
So you meet those guys. Now, at that time, the band had been playing together for 15 years or so. And from what I understand, like, they're kind of thinking, oh, maybe we're kind of wind this thing down or something, you know.
We had a hiatus in 2018, and because it was just like we were doing the like Jazz Fest weekend, like seven shows. We playing like the 2 a.m. DBA show.
I'm talking about before that.
Oh, before
like,
that?
Yeah. Because the thing is, so you guys wind up winning a Grammy.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
Yeah, we won it after the hiatus.
Oh, all right, sorry.
It's all good.
I'm ruining the story once again.
But I think we had one of your bandmates on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't at the actual...
Two of them.
Oh, really?
The main guys.
Okay.
The brothers.
But you were an actual... You were like the pre-Grammy award show or something.
I joined the band and then we won a Grammy. The first Grammy.
No, right, Manny's talking about when you go out to the actual Grammy presentation thing that that the
right.
the Roots
Regional Roots,
Regional Roots Award is yeah. given out in the afternoon or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The televised show.
Right, right, right. We did both of those.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, so you guys were working your ass off, but right. kind of felt like you maybe
doing the grind,
making a lot of progress.
Right. Well, I think it was just the grind of it all.
The fatigue.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was a hiatus, and I kind of panicked because I didn't have any Johnny
Money.
Campos. Well,
yeah.
there's that. But I didn't have any material to like hang my hat on, so I recorded a ambient pedal steel record. With
oh.
the drummer from Lost Bayou, Kirkland Middleton.
Oh, that's when you recorded that the
Weeks Island,
Weeks
yeah,
Island
yeah, yeah, yeah.
record. Okay.
Before I had anything, I was just like, let me just have material ready in case. And
a beautiful record, man.
Oh, thanks.
Really, and so I was listening to some of that today, and so you must be very Eno influenced.
Big
I'm guessing.
Big yeah. time. Yeah, that Apollo record with him and Daniel Lanois.
Okay.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you record that record. That's
it kind of sits on a shelf, more a digital shelf, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And started showing it to some people. Actually, the GM. I was working at Cure on Ferret,
mm-hmm.
and the GM Turk Dietrich. He played in a band called Belong and Second Woman. And I showed it to him, and he was like liked it. He mixed it better than what it was sounding. And Louis Michaud from Lost by Ramblers put it out on his record label, Nouveau Electric,
right.
at the beginning of the pandemic. So it's like this ambient, calming pedal steel record coming out in the pandemic. So it was like, oh, that's cool. It's just digital only, whatever.
Right.
I didn't invest that much money into it. And then our old bass player from Lost Bayou, Corey Ritchie, is in LCD Sound System.
Oh, okay.
And showed it to James Murphy. James Murphy liked it and was like, hey, we should put this out on DFA Records.
Nice.
So that happened. It took 5 years, but it eventually came out this past January.
Yeah. That's terrific, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's
that's
it's
wonderful.
Nuts. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Whatever happens next.
Don't
is
you
happen
miss
next.
The pandemic? I miss
in
it.
Some ways.
Yeah, I miss
in
it
some
so
ways.
Much. I think we should bring it back.
Bring it back. There may be another one.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm tired of once in every 100 years of storm happening every 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm done with that.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. Well, so you kind of skipped over an important chunk. I mean, of course, people can go back and listen to the Andre Michaud episode
oh,
that we
right,
did,
right.
you know, or the Louis Michaud episode that we did. But just, you know, those were... like probably 6 and 4 years ago
wow.
at this point. So Lost Bayou Ramblers, since that is a big part of your story as
yes.
well. So Lost Bayou Ramblers during your hiatus, wind up winning your first Grammy.
We get nominated while we're on hiatus. And then I think we played a couple of shows after and then win. So then we have to keep going.
It must have been thrilling, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, not in a million years. I mean, my joke... in grade school was at my Grammy speech, I'm going to say, I want to thank Jesus, my mama, and Elvis in that order.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'd never in a million years did I think that I would actually
now,
happen.
Now, did you thank those
two? No, I just thank my family.
Okay.
Where do you
out.
Keep your Grammy?
I got it on my record shelf.
On your record shelf. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Nothing crazy like on top of the fridge or
no.
above the toilet.
Our bass player Brian, he keeps it on his toilet, I believe. I believe.
Okay.
Well, you getting into the Lost Bayou Ramblers, I was reading somewhere where you're saying when you first got in the band, you weren't really familiar with Cajun music.
Oh, no.
You weren't familiar with the way the thing moves, where it's kind of elastic phrasing
yeah.
and the phrase is cued by the next musical phrase that
right.
you didn't even know what the cues were.
No.
So you kind of hid in your guitaristic, your Velvet Underground inclinations
yes.
of noise and...
yeah, basically, like I, my first gig with them was at NCIS New Orleans. My
okay.
second gig was in Memphis at the Peabody Hotel for like St. Jude something.
Oh yeah, yeah, the hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Danny Thomas.
It was
Danny Thomas, man, that guy's crazy.
It was 4 hours long, no rehearsal.
Wow.
So I just charted out all the songs on, and I just had charts on the ground, just 360 around where I was standing. And they would call a song, and I would have to, like, scan around, and then they would go, like, all right, go. But they were all wrong, because I was... It wasn't like they were following the exact one that was recorded or that live one. It was just like, you know, how the melody changes the chord. And I did not know that.
Right.
So I was in it for like 6 months. And I knew Andre's wife before I knew any of them. Joanna.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's great.
Great
and,
songwriter.
We're at Tipitina's before the show. And she's like, how's it going, man? How you feeling? And I'm like, I don't know. I think I'm like. On the chopping block. I'm screwing up left and right. And she's like, well, you keep getting the call, right? I'm like, well, I guess I do keep getting the call. She's like, I think you're all right. I was like, okay, but I hope so.
But I think really what was happening is you were infusing a whole kind of avant-garde noise energy into what they already had, very aggressive sound for that kind of band. I mean, that's why I guess Spider Stacy, another former guest of ours early on, heard y'all and thought, wow, these guys remind me of the Pogues, man. They play with that same energy.
It was so great. Yeah, I'd heard some Pogue songs, but never really got into them. But then once we started playing with them, I was like, this is incredible.
Well,
yeah.
I think the Pogues was one of those bands that you couldn't capture them on vinyl.
Sure.
You had to see them live.
Oh, okay.
You know, just like there are many bands, like I grew up in L.A., like Fishbone.
Fishbone.
And Fishbone, you had to see live. Their music just didn't go over
didn't
on the
translate.
Vinyl. It just did not translate. And the Pogues were the same way. Except for maybe some of the slower tunes and stuff. But,
yeah, the ballads.
But the other stuff is like you had to see them live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
But you got to back up Spider.
Yeah.
Spider came and did a 3 or 4 song, kind of a mini set with the Clash tribute that I've played the past few years.
Nice.
And man, when Spider gets up and starts singing in front of you,
he knows what he's doing.
You feel like it's fucking 1979 again, man. Yeah, that fucking energy is unmistakable. It's crazy, man.
It's true. I believe it.
Well, Johnny, I told you this was going to go by fast. And looking at our drinks, it's that time, man.
Yeah. Well, the nation knows what to do, Johnny. We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Yes.
Back with Mr. Manny Chevrolet.
I'm here still.
I am Renee Coman, still here. Back with our guest, Mr. Johnny Campos.
Still here.
Boy, good, good, good. All present and accounted for. Boy, the bar's getting, it's jumping in here. Well, you know.
Yeah, there's some classy girls in here, too.
There's a couple of pieces of ass back there, I noticed.
They're so classy, they cover their mouth when they fart.
Okay.
That's how classy they are.
Then they have some folks down at this end of the bar that I'm looking at that look like they're straight out of the trailer park. So
yeah.
I guess they're balancing it out. But
they're in town for WWE, probably.
Sure.
Or
well,
tails.
Yeah, or the Swingers Convention.
Oh.
I think that might be it. Well, I failed to mention that it is Tiki Tuesday here at Snake and Jake's.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, they have
maybe that's why it's so crowded here.
Could be. The exotic.
Doing that, what do they call that? Samba line? You know, how low can you go?
That's a limbo.
Limbo line. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Why not? Well, the tiki torches, and again, if you drive by, it's a real sight to behold. We'll take our picture in front of it again, but it's the two cinder blocks separated by about 8 feet on either side of the door that have bamboo tiki torches duct taped to them. It's all class, man.
Yeah, I mean the lighting is a Christmas light, so what do you expect?
Well, inside, yeah, right. okay, so yes, we are. What are we doing here? Oh yeah, reminding everybody that we are a listener supported operation, and as always, we have the PayPal and Venmo contributions, which we should be pouring in. Unfortunately, we have none for this week, so we're still running on fumes. But for the future, we do have those links in the show notes of every show and the Facebook posts about the show.
Yes.
Also, follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and rate, review, and subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it. Give us 5 stars. Cost you nothing. Helps us a lot. Also, we have the link for the Trouble Men podcast t-shirts, as well as the Patreon page. And we do have a handful of patrons who are supporting us week in and week out. I guess that's what we're running on tonight.
And if you want help me out with my campaign, you can send me a few nickels. And I'll try to get you a bumper sticker.
Yes. I mean, we had someone send a contribution
to
the bar.
To the bar. What's the address here?
You can look it up. Google Snake and Jake's on Oak Street. It's like
123 Piece of Shit Avenue. That's basically
76
what it is.
Something Oak Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70118.
Dump Drive. Is
But also
a garbage circle.
Okay.
It's a cul-de-sac, basically.
Also, I want to mention that I'll be out with Sonny Landreth for a few more dates at the end of this week. This show will come up out after that, but I just had to show off a little bit. And but the Iguanas will still be at the Carousel Lounge every Sunday down there at the beautiful Hotel Monteleone through the end of September and possibly beyond if we play our cards right.
I waited on Sonny like 20 years ago, and he gave me his card, and I swiped it and found out his first name is Clyde.
Yeah, he's salt of the earth, man.
Oh,
he's
fucking
so talented, sweetest guy in the world. Hilarious, too.
I've stolen a couple of slide techniques.
He's got a lot of them, man. He's got slide techniques to burn.
Yes.
You could steal many of them, and he'd still have so many left. Yeah,
so cool.
No, he's a genius. Okay, well, I think we've covered everything there. Let's back to our guest, Mr. Johnny Campos. So all the time that you're playing with Lost Bayou Ramblers, you're still playing with your original band, Brass Bed, huh? Are you guys still making records?
Yeah, we put out a couple records. The last one we put out was 2016, and then everybody in the band bought homes in Lafayette, got pregnant, had babies, and now
with each other.
Well, in one case, our drummer bass player were married. I was the best man in their wedding.
Oh, very nice.
And the three of us are Carbon Poppies. So it's like within a band.
Right.
So
now Carbon Poppies. I was listening to some of the music. It's got kind of a Yola Tango vibe a little bit. Am I so far off?
Big time. Big fan.
Oh,
Yola
okay.
Tango.
I'm not far off.
No, you're not.
Okay. Right.
Actually, at the last, there's this band from California called La Luz that played at Siberia, and it was sold out. And I went outside to talk to somebody, and I saw two of the members from Yola Tango getting out of a Uber. So I ran up to the door person, and I was like, "You have to let them in. I mean, this is Yola Tango. You have to." So I got them in. And then I was like, "Hey, you guys want anything to drink?" And they're like, "We're fine."
Oh, really?
Okay. All right.
Straight edge, huh?
Yeah.
So they think they're better than you?
Yes. Yeah. That's what they are.
They're Yola Tango.
I never heard of them.
But Carbon Poppies.
Now, are you married?
We're not married.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, like 15, 16 years.
Oh, nice.
Common. When are you going to make her an honest woman, man?
She doesn't want to be an honest woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Some people like that.
Yeah.
Really? So you don't mind dating a whore? Basically, is that it?
No, she doesn't sell her body on the street. She's a ICU night nurse.
Oh, night nurse.
Yeah, I she's like working
that.
Right now.
I like that.
So what does she do with those cadavers?
She sticks with the living.
Oh,
okay, nice. Oh, it's got it. You got all the answers, don't you?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I'm trying.
Sure. So, well, something I wanted to talk about in reference to these groups, these pop groups that you were in. Is there like a Lafayette experimental pop scene? Is that much of a thing that you guys came out of?
It comes in waves. Huh. I think there's a wave happening right now with the kids that are like in their like mid to late 20s. Like bands like Cashier, Speech Fuzz. These are just Lafayette bands that will come play New Orleans every now and then, but.
Does that kind of grow out of UL, the university?
Not even. Somewhat, but I mean, it's just, you know, scenes kind of like they'll have their heyday and then like people move away or
sure.
Somebody has to like actually get a job or something.
Clubs pop up that foster that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And then they fold.
But it's a lot easier these days because of the networking and social stuff.
Sure.
That you can be a band in a small town.
Sure.
And get noticed somewhere else.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that kind of happened to the band Cashier. I don't know if you know who Frank Ocean is. Frank Ocean.
He's the impressionist?
No. Well, he plays himself.
Okay.
Yeah, he did that song, Caribbean Queen. No, Billy Ocean.
That's Billy Ocean.
Yeah.
Oh,
what was the other one?
I thought you were talking about Frank Gorshin.
No.
Frank the Riddler.
The Riddler.
In the Batman series.
No. Yes, I'm aware.
I rode a ride with him at Disneyland once.
Oh, nice.
He was a kid. Yeah, him and his wife were right in front of me and my mom.
That's cool.
I think it was Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's cool.
Like that. Either that or it was Dumbo. I can't remember.
All right.
Was he nice?
I was so high.
Oh, as a kid?
Yeah. He's a good guy, Frank Gorshin.
Yeah.
I met Don Adams once. He was an asshole.
Really?
That's too bad.
He was just an angry guy.
What about Cesar Romero? He was one of those...
He was my gardener.
Oh.
Seems like he was
And he had
more
acid
successful.
For the children, Cesar Romero.
Nice.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
You know? And he was in Batman too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the Joker.
Joker, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And who was Batman? Burt Wayne?
No. Adam West. Yeah.
Burt Wayne was Robin?
Bruce Wayne.
No.
Burt Ward.
Burt Ward, yes.
There it is.
Now, who played the butler on the TV show?
That's too hard.
Yeah.
Troubled Nation. Chime in on this right now.
Right
now. Free bumper sticker. Can ever tell who played the butler.
Without Googling it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's no. Yeah, don't look it up. That's cheating.
Yeah.
You guys are very busy. Now, I noticed like Louis Michaud.
He's busier.
He's so busy. Now, do you see how hard he works and feel lazy and does it kick you into gear? Because it seems like it would to me. It's like, fuck, man, I got to get up and do something.
I mean, yes and no. I'm a part of a lot of those busyness.
You are. He drags you in. I can see that, yeah.
But I mean, I have a day job, so that's, yeah. So I'm either...
You're double busy.
Yeah, I was about to say, people ask, how's it going? And it's just like, well, it's shifts and shows. Either I'm...
Shifts and shows.
Playing a show or I'm working a shift. And tonight, I just happen to be off.
Right.
Excellent.
Fortunately, or else we would be out without a guest.
There you go.
Going back to that, one of his current side projects, Louis Michaud's Swamp Magic.
Swamp Magic.
Very cool band, man.
Oh, it's very, very fun. He put out a solo record last year, and every now and then I would get a call to play like pedal steel with him,
mm-hmm.
and it would only be like a couple of songs at the end, and then eventually like it just became the whole set.
Yeah.
And I was very much on charts for that one. But then the last couple shows, I've just been like, I'm just going to use my ears, and
right.
So far, so good. I think we're going to be getting into the studio next month.
Cool.
So there might be another record down the pike.
Outstanding.
Keep your eyes out.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
And that's a nice tight group of very, again, kind of experimental.
Very experimental.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I like to, I have a cello bow and I bow the low B string on my steel. So it's like, kind of sounds like a cello.
Yeah.
So that's fun. It's and just loop it, layers, echo, delay.
And that's part of, not besides even you, like the bass player in Lost Bayou Ramblers.
Oh, yeah. Brian.
Brian Weber.
Correct.
Uses like pads and stuff.
Samples.
Instead of playing bass sometimes.
Synths. Yeah, exactly.
And all those non-traditional sounds are so much a part of Lost Bayou Ramblers these days.
Big time. Yeah, I guess... The record that got us the Grammy was the first Grammy was we started using 808s.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, essentially, I think Louis and Corey boiled it down to, like, Cajun music is just dance music. So why wouldn't 808s work?
Sure.
What is an 808?
It's like it's a sampled bass.
Like drum machine.
You would understand. You'd know it if you heard it. It's like
a lot of the first rap stuff, you know. Or
so boom, they do that with boom, Cajun boom. Music?
What's that?
They do that with your band?
We do that in Lost Bayou and in Louis Michaud and Swamp Magic. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you're faking it.
Yes. Trying to.
Oh, that's good. And you win awards for faking it.
Who doesn't?
There you go. He's got all the answers, man. All the quick comebacks. Yeah. Well, the second Grammy that y'all won was quite different from that in that you partnered with the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra.
Nuts.
And you had and this was really done for a performance that you were commissioned to do.
Right, at the Orpheum.
Jay Weigel,
yep.
Great arranger,
yep.
Score writer, great musician, wrote arrangements for the entire orchestra for Lost Bayou Ramblers.
That's right.
Repertoire.
Yeah.
And did a performance, and it was recorded.
It was recorded.
And wound up winning your second Grammy last year.
Yes, that's true. And I was doing Dry January at the time, so I was really shaken.
Yeah.
Really shaking.
As opposed to stirred.
Yeah.
Okay. Not stirred.
Yeah. I was, because in classical music, you can't really screw up. There's no like blurring lines.
Right.
You have to play it right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it must have worked out.
It seems like.
Yeah. Very good. But then, this Weeks Island project. So that's been reissued now on a bigger label.
Right.
And tell us about that record. Give us some background on, besides the way you did it, like what was the organizing concept behind it?
It's named Drost because Drost is a term that's like a painting within a painting within a painting within a painting, or a play within a play within a play within a play. So it was just like this looped. I was just thinking like, oh, it's just a bunch of looped,
kind of an Escher quality.
Escher quality.
Okay.
But with pedal steel and delay. I've tried to play it out at bars. It doesn't work because people are like, when's the band start? Because it just sounds like ambience.
Uh huh. Doesn't translate.
Doesn't translate. I was able to.
Have a beat. You can't dance to it.
Exactly.
Now, are there lyrics?
No lyrics.
No lyrics.
Just pedal steel.
Oh, gotcha. And Lost Bayou Ramblers, are there lyrics in that band?
There are French lyrics. There's some English lyrics, but it's mostly French.
What's going on up there?
The Christmas lights are starting to come down. I retaped them when I got here, but that tape's seen better days. It's Gorilla tape, but it's not the best.
This whole place has seen better days.
Yeah, well, so have we.
Yeah. It's a busy night. There's a lot of people.
It is. It's jumping in here, man.
Yeah, it's a deal.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out a project that would, work in some way. It was all very much like, let's just see what happens.
Off the cuff.
Off the cuff.
Right,
completely,
right, right.
Completely.
And it's interesting when you do projects like that. It's like, I don't really have a plan for this.
No,
I'm just going to start doing some things and see where it leads me. And then in hindsight, you go, oh, it has this thing. It's like a self-organizing quality to it.
Well, yeah, it's just me. So it's very easy to just like pop up anywhere. I did a record release at the Hotel Peter and Paul with
nice
great visuals. It was incredible. I don't know what's going to happen, but hopefully somebody's going to want pay me to score a movie or something.
That would be perfect, man.
That would be great. I could do it at my house.
Yeah, there you go. Now, and they can't say that you're wrong because it's you make all the you're the final arbiter. Well, you know, the whole Eno ethic of that, you know, we're not going for virtuosity here.
Right.
We're going for art.
Right. Well, his whole thing was judgment. Like, he was,
yes,
like, it was taste. It wasn't like, sure, that's a virtuoso, that's great, but like, these filters on this synth, do I like them or do not like them? It doesn't have to be about like the actual harmony. It's like, what is it, the overall sound? Do I like it or do I not like it?
Right.
And it's just like, oh, that's an interesting ethos. Like, I can get into that.
And that's really what separates the men from the boys is how good is your taste, how accurate or how intuitive or,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
You know,
the intangible, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed.
That's where it's at, Johnny.
I mean, I'm trying.
You know, no, you're doing great.
Making margaritas along the way.
Okay, sure.
Now, if I went to your restaurant, could you comp me a couple of cocktails?
For you, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have that power.
Maybe a taco?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. When do you work again?
I don't have regular hours.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Okay, maybe you guys
That's
can...
That's a good answer.
Maybe you guys could talk about this off air.
All right.
Make a date.
Make a date.
Now, what about Giorgio Moroder? He a Moroder.
I'm not familiar.
You're not Giorgio Moroder? You're not...
I'm not familiar.
Brian Eno is his biggest fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
He did the Donna Summer records.
Okay.
You never heard of him?
The
no.
Sequencers.
Yeah. No.
Eno was, I heard this story. Eno was with Bowie in the studio.
Sure.
And he heard Donna Summer's track that Moroder did.
Mm.
And he heard this and he said to Bowie, he goes, "We need to do this.
Nice.
We need to do this." And he did. He did the soundtrack for American Gigolo.
Okay.
All those. You never heard of him?
Never heard of him.
Wow.
Haven't been there yet.
Oh,
yeah. No. It's something you'll dig. It.
I'll get there.
Yeah.
Work your way back. You know.
Sure.
You know. You're much too young to know about Neil Young, but you do. So I mean, you're not too young. I mean, I know about Bach, and you know he wasn't around when I was a kid. So
fair.
You know, but many young people don't have any sense of curiosity, certainly about anything that came before them.
Oh no, I may not look like it, but I'm an avid runner, and every time I run, I listen to a record I've never heard before. So that's probably going to be one of the next one.
Yeah. And I saw
check
a video of you running.
It's right.
In the and now I noticed you have a very upright running stance.
Yeah, my girlfriend said the same thing.
Really?
I'm like, I didn't even. You don't have to like.
I couldn't run that straight up and down like you do.
I try to have good form, but I don't think about it. I guess.
I don't
know
that's bad form. Yeah. I don't run at all unless someone's chasing me.
Fair.
Now, you should see Manny run. As funny as Manny is here,
yeah,
he has the same...
It's on his TikTok.
He has comedy running. No, he doesn't post this. It's not for public consumption.
When have you seen me running?
Well, you know, in certain roles, like when we were doing the movie, you did a little short, not a long run,
right,
not like a quarter mile or anything, but like 50 feet or 20 feet, you know, it's you have the comedy running.
Comedy is the hardest thing ever to do.
Yes.
You know that. Yes.
Do it well.
You guys, you musicians, you think it's tough. It's
I mean,
you guys
we just do the
easy.
Same thing over and over.
Acting.
Right. Well, you know,
dramas.
People think performing music is you're so exposed, and it's like, well, in a sense we are, but we all also have the music and we have the instruments
and the drugs
in acting
and
there's,
the pussy
there's nowhere to hide in acting.
Acting there's places to hide, but stand up stand up there's no place to hide. Acting you can hide,
yeah,
you know, you can cover your, you know, if you don't know how to do the scene right, you can cover yourself, and you know, and the director will either say, No, it's not working.
Right. I mean, witty banter between songs is hard enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Usually a bad idea.
It's usually a bad idea.
But you always know what city you're in, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But you often don't know what day it is because every day feels like it's Saturday night, right?
Yeah,
right?
You just have to say it out loud a couple times that day throughout the day. Today is
I remember
Tuesday.
When I had a band, I used to always say, no matter where we played, no matter what town, I would say, who's going to fuck me tonight? And man, I tell you, I got laid a lot.
It worked. Oh, nice.
Yeah,
it worked. Shotgun method.
Yeah.
Shotgun method.
Yeah.
Fire hose.
It was swingers convention.
Sure.
TB people. Two belly people.
It's members only tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Good times.
Yeah. The best. So what's next for a young Johnny Campos?
Oh, let's see.
A marathon. You gonna run a marathon?
No, I just run for me. I don't need to do that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't need to wake up that early to run for anybody else.
Okay.
Now, what are your favorite Neil Young records?
Now, that's tough.
How much do you like Tonight's the Night?
Oh, I'm in the ditch guy all the way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. On the Beach, love. Tonight's the Night, love. American Stars and Bars.
Okay.
I want to say just keeps creeping on in there on my rotation. But yeah, those are my prime
now,
Neil times.
Did you see Neil with Crazy Horse at Jazz Fest?
I did. I played that morning with Kristen Diable at the Lanyop stage and was able to like stay. So it was just like,
wasn't that
did you see
so
Neil
great.
With
a revelation?
Daryl Hannah
so
that great. Night too?
No, I didn't. They were out and about?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a son who's very ill.
That's correct. Yeah, Zeke, yeah. I want to say his name is.
I don't know what his name is.
Now, in that version of Crazy Horse, they have the singer's son.
Scatman Crothers.
You're very close. Willie Nelson's son.
Right.
Who plays great. Well, same era.
Luke Nelson.
Plays so great.
Yeah.
And
who
plays
knew?
Very much
Craig
like
Craig T. Nelson. Remember him? Coach?
Oh, yeah. Craig T. Nelson.
Sitcom.
I love Coach.
I love that show.
Great
who
show.
Who played the other coach? Dick Van Dyke's brother.
Jerry Van Dyke.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yep.
Dick Van Dyke's still alive.
He is.
Just
no
celebrated
way.
His 100th
yes.
birthday.
Yeah, no,
Jesus
he's still
Christ.
Alive, and he was dancing.
He
I
was
saw
dancing.
A video
yeah.
of him dancing
oh
recently.
Yeah.
He's got to be vegan like Paul McCartney.
He lives in Arizona and Malibu.
Okay.
Oh, man.
He
guy's
lives in both places, apparently.
He's an alcoholic who's been dry for about,
50 years.
More than that.
Yeah.
70 years or something. Again, he's almost 100 years old.
Damn. Well, at you get that age, why... You know, I would go back.
Go back.
Yeah.
I would start
doing heroin.
Doing tar heroin.
have
Flocka.
Flocka, sure,
yeah.
why not?
Why not?
Why not?
You're 100 years old.
Yeah, right. what are you saving it for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Your days are numbered.
Yeah,
you know.
True.
Go out with
But then again, Dick Van Dyke, he
might
be
writing.
110.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah. That guy's crazy.
He could outlive us.
Yeah. The next thing that's happening is me and the bass player from Lost Bayou, Brian Weber,
yeah.
Shakespeare and the Blues. We're going to put out a cassette.
A cassette?
August,
yeah, a cassette.
August 15th.
Okay.
It's a live show we played.
Traffic court?
A live show we played and recorded last year at Ace Hotel.
Oh.
Where he has he's got beats, I've got ambience, and... It's called...
Where can we get this cassette?
We're gonna be posting QR codes all over the city.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a mail order.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys could be like... I was going to say you could be like Suicide, but without Alan Vega. You know?
Yeah.
You need somebody to...
We need the hype man.
need the Alan Vega part.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, that's the next thing coming out. And then this... I don't know what's going to happen with Louis and Swamp Magic records or recordings happening.
I see another Grammy in your future.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
from your lips to whoever needs to hear it.
Yeah,
you got momentum going.
Yeah.
Oh, Brass Bed's going to put out another single next month.
Okay.
I think on the 15th as well. So
this single that you just put out, Ready to Run. You're singing that.
I'm singing on
you have
playing
a lovely
pedal
voice,
steel. Oh,
man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's very, very sweet sound. You know, it's... I love that kind of music. You
oh,
know,
thanks.
It's kind of Beach Boys.
Heavily influenced.
You know?
Heavily influenced by Beach Boys. 70s records, big time. But that song I wrote like 10 years ago about a buddy who was going through a terrible, terrible marriage. And it's called Ready to Run. And it's about just like, get out of this thing, man.
Yeah.
And he eventually did, and he's all good now. But yeah. So I just like to put the disclaimer out there. This is not about my girlfriend.
Don't you think Supertramp is one of the worst bands from the 70s ever? I can't stand that.
Breakfast at America is so good.
Really? You think so?
At least side A.
Oh, God.
It's so well crafted.
That record turned me on to jogging.
Did it?
Yeah, I had to just run.
Get out of there.
Horrible. Just horrible.
But it might
that
be because...
That guy's voice is awful.
It might be because of...
Like Aaron Neville.
That voice is tough. The voice is tough to... Not yeah. Aaron, I love Aaron Neville's voice, but the Supertramp guys, it's...
It might be because of P.T. Anderson. There's a lot of Supertramp in Magnolia, right? There's one of the P.T. Anderson movies. There's a lot of Supertramp. I'm like, it's
yeah. Okay.
Into it. Sorry. Right. Sorry
that's
to disappoint.
That's why you took up jogging. Okay.
Oh, I took up jogging
to get away from your girlfriend.
No, on tour, I was in somewhere in South Dakota, and
that's a hell of a gig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sioux Falls, and it was us and another band. We got a case of beer, like played the show. Nobody was there. Drank a case of beer in a hotel room. There was like 9 dudes in a hotel room, passed out. One of the guys steps on my head as he's trying to leave, like get out of the room at 6 in the morning. And I'm like, Pat, what the hell are you doing, man? He's like, I'm going for a run. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm so fucking hungover. He's like, it's the best time to like go for a run. You get to see the city that you're in. You get to like, you know, it's the best time to get in shape. I was like, okay, well. And I started running.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'll be hungover and still get up and run?
Sometimes, yeah. It's a great way to burn a hangover off.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You didn't have no coffee, no nothing?
Coffee helps.
Before the run?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you get the trots after the runs. Right?
I hope not. It's just, yeah,
sounds,
that's just a
like
prayer.
A recipe
now,
for
what
disaster.
What kind of food is in South Dakota?
Oh, we had like freezer pizzas.
Okay.
Yeah, it's slim pickings there.
Slim pickings.
Yeah.
That was the only time I've ever been in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Not to despair.
Well, on that note.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say my final question is going to be your expectations getting into the music business compared to your actual experience.
What were you thinking when you
made the decision to go in whole hog? You thought, I will be able to play music,
right?
And that's all. That's
well, yeah,
all.
Yeah. That's the dream. I mean, I'm closer than I've ever been, but it's still like one of those like I don't know if it's because my father was an immigrant, but you have to have a job. Like
right.
There's no not having a job.
Right.
So like, I don't know. I thought that it would just be like a you go to undergrad, then you go to grad. When you get your doctorate, it's like you just do the steps and things will just happen. And things have happened, but it's not like you have to have a good report card to get onto a tour bus.
Right.
To get like millions of dollars in record sales.
And you can't predict that. I try to explain it to people, when they look at my career or something.
Right.
And I say, you have no control over... how successful you become in the music business. All you have control over is whether you're going to be a musician.
Right. When you're going to show up, on time.
And if you are playing music and in the music business and that's what you want to do, you've made it. That's all the expectations I ever had.
Totally.
So anything else is gravy.
Sure. Sure. That's what like anybody that's like, oh, you still work? I was like, well, yeah, the Grammy doesn't come with a cash prize.
Right.
I get to say it, like somebody, we could say that this happened. I have this huge honor. This is great, but it doesn't get me any more like rent or electricity.
Right.
Well, that's because awards are bullshit.
It turns out.
All those fucking Oscar shows, Emmys and Grammys.
It's a fun
bullshit.
Party. It's a fun party
trick.
Yeah,
it's a lovely recognition.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, what a fun episode. Hell yeah. I hope it's been everything. I hope that this has been everything you expected it would be.
And more.
Excellent. Outstanding.
You're buying the next round, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So everyone check out the Weeks Island Drost record.
Sure.
It's out there. We'll put the link in the show notes to the records and all of your mini bands. And everybody check that out.
I'm a sticker, man.
And yes, we have two stickers for you. One to stick and one to save.
Sure.
If you're a pack rat like me. And I'm guessing you are.
Somewhat. My girlfriend's trying to stop it.
Sure. Well, you know, she can give it her best shot.
Yeah.
I dare you. And on that note, we'll say trouble never ends.
But hey, man, struggle continues. Good night.
Vote Manny Chevrolet.